I want to let you know that we've been in a 5S series talking about the purpose and vision of Blue Valley Baptist Church. Five distinct S's, our vision, our mission. The first, surrender, when we've talked about that already this morning. Surrendering our lives to Jesus, that's the beginning point relationally with Him. Sacrificing our time, talents, resources for the sake of His kingdom. Give us opportunities to share the gospel with the lost, those who don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, as we shine distinctly in our area for Him, where He comes through our lives. People see there's something different about us as we sustain our relationship with Him by spending time in the Word, time in prayer, and going about the different things, again, we've been talking about for several weeks, that are a part of being a follower of Jesus. When Derek, Steve, and I met at Derek's house several months ago to talk about this message series in particular, we tried to identify a New Testament or Old Testament character that best defined, lived out the area of shine, which is the S we're looking at today, and it was obvious that the one we should pick would be Joseph. Everybody loves an underdog story, and Joseph, in many respects, time and again, is that underdog story, even more so than, say, a Tom Brady, who was the 199th pick overall in 2000 for the New England Patriots. Who knew at that time that he would be what he is today, one of the perennial quarterbacks in the league? Another underdog we could talk about, dangerous ground here, living in Kansas City, Albert Pujols, longtime Cardinal, who was the 402nd overall pick in the MLB draft in 1999. And look what he's done with his career and the Angels. We can relate to the underdogs. We love hearing the stories. We love seeing it. Well, Joseph is definitely a story of an underdog. Trials, tribulations, struggles, many of which we will talk about today. And there may not be another Old Testament figure who prefigures Jesus like Joseph did. Man of sterling character, of patient suffering, and lived out hard-to-fathom grace in his life, in the way that he spent time with others. Challenges for us as we engage our culture to reflect the life of Christ in strong ways where they can see there's something different about us. Seeing first, then, in our effort to do this, we are called to shine when we engage distinctly. Find Genesis 39 in your Bibles. That's where we're going to spend much of our time today. Those familiar with Joseph's life will remember that his brothers were very jealous of him, even in some of the verses said they hated him because of his devotion and love for his dad and his dad's devotion and love for him, to the point where he had the coat of many colors. If you went to Bible school, you may remember that was one of the big topics year after year, Joseph and the coat of many colors. He also had given his father a coat of many colors, which stood him out from among his brothers. Well, his brothers had taken a trip traveling to make resources, finances for his family. And so his dad, not sending Joseph, wondered how they were doing. So he decided, I'll send Joseph out and we'll see what happens and what they're doing. And then I want you to come back and report to me if they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. So Joseph left. When his brothers saw him coming from a long way off, they said, this is our opportunity and our chance. No one else is around. Let's get rid of him. Some of the brothers, most, said, we need to kill him. This is our opportunity. Well, Reuben, one of his brothers, said, let's not kill him. Let's do something different. There's a well. We can throw him in the well. It didn't have water in it, and then we can just leave him for dead. Then we can go back and we can tell our dad, hey, he died in the course of the trip, and so we're sorry to share it. The brothers agreed, let's throw him in the well. Well, not soon after, not long after that, slave traders came, jumped in, and saw the brothers, and they said, let's do this instead. Let's sell him to the slave traders and let them take him, and we can tell dad the same story when we return. So sure enough, that's what they did. They sold him into slavery, took his robe, killed an animal, dipped it in blood, took it back to his dad and said, he died. He died in the journey. Of course, his father, Jacob, very troubled, distressed, wept bitterly the loss of his son. He had a hard time believing it, grasping it, challenges for him. So the story continues, goes into slavery, and we pick it up in Genesis 39, starting with verse 1. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, once again, by the slave traders, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him an overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. The underdog story. In slavery, recognized, seen, come in, take over. Everything in my home I want you to manage and run. Not only did Joseph accept that calling, but he succeeded in everything he did. We can look at that and miss it. We can think, okay, because he's a successful businessman and God blessed him in those things, that was his primary purpose, to be able to shine for God with that people group because he was successful in business. That was his on-ramp and his opportunity. He had great skill, a great set of opportunities to be able to produce unlike any other in that position had. So he was well respected and he was liked. But the strength of his life was not because he was successful in business or knew good practices. The strength of his life, once again, is seen in verse 3 of chapter 39. His master saw that the Lord was with him. It's really easy for us to read through and miss that part of it. The thing that made him distinct were not his character qualities necessarily, were not his strength of brain, of heart, of mind. Instead, it was that the Lord was with him, which must have been unusual for Egyptians to see that, because their God was not the same God that Joseph followed. Saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So there was something distinctly different about Joseph that caused others to take up notice. First question of the day is this. Do people know something, notice something different in your life? If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, as do I, can people see there's something distinctly different about you? Not good business practices necessarily, all those are important. Morality is very critical. Character is a big deal. But do they see a distinct difference that causes them to know what the difference is or where it comes from? Or do they just think he's a pretty good guy or she's a pretty good lady? If they really see the difference, it would be the same as Joseph, that the Lord is with you. And that would be opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel with them, to speak truth into their lives. There is something different. The difference in my life is Jesus. Joseph, the difference in my life is God. It was a giftedness outside of himself that came from the inside to the outside. Let me say it again. It was a giftedness that God gave him from the inside that shined or came out of his life. And it was evident to everyone who came into a relationship with him or knew him or had contact with him, there was something different, and that difference was the Lord. It's a challenge for us. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." There was a tangible, noticeable difference in how Joseph carried himself with the lives that he came into contact with. And it was beyond morality. It was that God impacted his life in extreme ways. We continue in Genesis 39. Look at the second half of verse 6. "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance." Boy, that must be nice. Now some of you in here can relate to that. I have challenges there. "And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.'" In essence, here's what she's saying. "I want to sleep with you." "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, because of my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He trusts me. How in the world could I sleep with you, his wife?' Not only would that be sin against God, that would be sin against you, that would be sin against my master, my boss, and everybody else around. How in the world could I engage in that with you? I'm trusted. Verse 9, he is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except for you. You are the only person, thing, item, everything that he has that he claims. The only one he said I am not to touch is you, because you are his wife. And that is truth for us today as well. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I can't even fathom it, Joseph said. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to go be with her. So it wasn't like it was a one-off where she said, okay, let's do this thing. And he said no, and she relented. It wasn't that. She pursued him day after day, moment after moment in that house, until she hoped that he would cave. Verse 11, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house. Okay, that's dangerous. Male, female, alone, no one else around. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. So there she is, grabbing his garment. This is our moment. No one will know. Just you and me. It's going to stay hidden. Trust me. We know that's not the truth of our lives, don't we? Our sin is exposed in times and places, even though we think that it can be hidden. At times, honestly, we think we can even keep our sin hidden from God. The longer we know the Lord, the more we realize that's insanity. He sees every part of us, knows every part of us. Sin doesn't stay hidden. It's revealed. He knew it. But that wasn't what drove him to not engage with her. He didn't want to sin against God or her or those around him. So there she is, grabbing his garment. Lie with me. This is our chance. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. So what did he do? He ran like crazy. I am not doing that. I am not engaging in that. But the struggle is he left that garment behind. The Bible tells us over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, we are to run away from sin. But our reaction oftentimes is to do what? We see how close we can get to it before we're actually burned. And so we allow compromises to come into our lives that should never enter, because we think we're going to be able to manage it and be okay with it. And there's sin in our lives that we can, not quite sin yet, but we can operate and we can navigate it, and I can handle this. But the reality is that without the Spirit working and moving in our lives, and without us having the dedication to run away from it as quickly as possible, we set ourselves in poor positions. One of the best pieces of advice I ever received before I started dating in the third grade, just kidding, before I started dating, set your boundaries before you go on your first date. Set your boundaries of what you're going to know, what you're going to do with the girls that you date. It's great advice. My question, of course, why? Because if you don't have those boundaries set beforehand, you're going to find yourself in a position you never thought you'd be in, and you're going to be in trouble. And then your emotions are going to take over, and you're going to find yourself in a spot that you never thought you'd be in. It's great advice. I clung to that until I got married. Right, Tiff? Right. And now I get to experience with my wife marriage, life, in ways that were not meant to be experienced when I was dating or single. Boundaries that were set, God held me to those, kept me to those, kept it as a reminder in my mind because that was my heart and life. Same can be true of business practices. Setting boundaries before you ever get that position you are striving for. In school, making the decision, I'm not going to cheat on a test before you walk into class. Boundaries. So you don't find yourself in a spot that I didn't know I was going to be here. And then caving and then sinning and then going through the repentance and the process that it takes for that. Well, he knew his boundaries, stood his ground, ran away. But what happened? Not a great thing for a guy who just made an incredible moral character choice. You'd think that at times, if we make right choices in our lives, it's going to get better and it's going to get easier. And the road paved before us is going to be unbelievable. But the reality of it is what? If we make right choices, Christ, conscience, choices in our lives, and we hold to God's word, there will be times that in those right choices, we will be strongly rejected, ridiculed. In fact, to the point possibly of losing jobs, being accused of things that we were never involved or engaged in before, as was Joseph, to the point of going to prison. Potiphar was so angry after his wife came to him with the accusation that he tried to have his way with me and I didn't want that, holding the robe, that he threw him in prison. We don't understand the prison system in that way, wrongly accused necessarily, as do those who live in foreign countries where it's illegal to read the gospel, where it's illegal to share your faith, where it's illegal to meet corporately, where people lose their lives, lose their homes, lose the opportunity for corporate worship. It is a reality in our world and has been. Maybe one day, here, are we ready to stand regardless? Look at chapter 40. He's been in prison for some time, and we'll pick up in verse 1. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night, they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation. So when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So they began to tell them to him. The cupbearer, all these things happened. Joseph's interpretation. 3 days, you're going to go back and you're going to be reinstated in your position. You're going to become the cupbearer of the king again. When that happens, do not forget me. The baker, here's mine. Well, while the other interpretation was awesome, yours isn't. 3 days, you're going to get your head cut off and life's over. So sure enough, 3 days later, they went up and before Pharaoh, exactly as Joseph had said. But what happened? The cupbearer forgot to tell Pharaoh about Joseph, and so for 2 more years, he remained in prison. Wrongfully accused, wrongfully imprisoned, and in a rough place. But instead of sulking, becoming bitter, angry, he did what? He shined because he engaged beneficially with those that he was around. He wanted to bring good in a situation that was not, to the lives of those he affected and impacted and had relationship with. An amazing perspective. So in prison, he was even in charge of, over prisoners and other aspects of running that area. He wanted to bring good. So there's our second question. If you're currently in a season where it's challenging, how is your level of bitterness? How's mine? Are we holding things that happen to us as God's punishment in our lives? He's got to be against me. Everything that I touch comes to ruin. Life is horrible. And because of it, I'm blaming God for it. Don't want anything to do with him. No interest in relationship, because he only brings bad to my life. The difference between that perspective and Joseph's is stark. Joseph didn't see it that way. He saw his opportunity. And amazingly, in the process of that, God never just showed up and told Joseph, hey, here's why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. There's never record of that in the Old Testament where he just showed up and told him. Would have been nice for Joseph to have known. But in spite of that, he continued to have a hard, strong level of trust in the Lord. Made him his king regardless. And God used him, and he benefited the lives of others, and it gave him the opportunity to shine in a way that he wouldn't have been able to otherwise. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. We are called to shine in spite of in our lives. And that comes from the inside out, in the way we treat people, in the way we love people, in the way we carry ourselves, in the way we show character and integrity, in the way we display the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, Galatians 5:22 and 23. Those are to pour from our lives as easily as water pours from a vase or a jug or a can or a bottle. Easily flows. That's how those things are supposed to pour out from our lives. As we walk with the Holy Spirit and he does that in us, that comes through us to show that we are different. Finally, we need to remember that if we are going to reflect the life of Christ as we engage other cultures, we are going to need to shine when we engage peacefully. Think about Joseph's life once again. He was with his brothers. His brothers hated him. He had peace. They threw him in a well. He had peace. Sold into slavery, peace. Prison, wrongfully, peace. This life produces shifting sands for us to stand on. We've talked about this before, but if our home is not built, our lives are not built upon the rock, when those shifting sands come, and they come rapidly, we will lose our footing, and our lives, in some respects, possibly come to ruin. But God desires that we stay planted firmly in him, our rock. And when we do that, we shine with others peacefully, as did Joseph. Eventually, God did reveal to Joseph why he went through all those trials. Eventually. But he didn't do it initially. And if you're in that right now, there's never even a promise that he will show us why we're experiencing what we are. Eventually, may. But he still calls us to trust. Our last passage, Genesis chapter 45, just turn a couple of pages over. It's remarkable. Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him. So, come full circle. He's in that position. He's in prison. He gets out. He becomes responsible for more. Number two to Pharaoh. The brothers come. Great famine in the land. Pharaoh had actually had a dream. The cupbearer at that point, 2 years later, remembered, hey, this guy can interpret dreams. He's the only one that can. Pharaoh brought him in. That's the dream. 7 fat years. It's been a great run. A lot of produce. Everything's good. But 7 skinny years are coming. It's going to be tough ones. It's going to be a great famine. We need to prepare. That's when the Pharaoh put him in charge of everything, in essence, in Egypt. And so they began to stockpile grain, whatever they needed to survive. So his brothers, 2 years later, dad, bad position, tough place, couldn't eat, we're going to die. Dad, Jacob, go. See the man that is either Pharaoh's number two or Pharaoh himself and ask, we need help. Can you help us? Didn't know it was Joseph. Remember, they'd been gone for years. Brothers assumed probably some that he was dead. So here they come. Joseph sees them walking up, didn't recognize him, actually spoke in a different language at that point. Came up, talked to him, spoke to him in their language. Didn't recognize him. We need help. So he kept a brother, sent the rest of them back, asked for the youngest brother to come back. That Jacob had kept because he was concerned that he was going to lose him too. He already lost Joseph. He didn't want to lose another one. So the brothers make the trek back, and that's where we pick it up in 45. They've come back. They've been at a dinner. They've spent time together. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him and he cried, "Make everyone go out from me." He was overwhelmed seeing his family, God providing them back. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, so the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." The big reveal. We love the big reveal on TV. There's the big reveal. "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" He didn't even know. But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Oh, my land, who did he just say he was? That's the guy we threw in the pit and sold him to slavery, and he's supposed to be dead. Verse 4. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." It all happened for this reason. "For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be another, neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep you alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but it was God." Now there's a perspective. "He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt." Shining distinctly. A lack of bitterness. Transparency. My family throws me in a pit, leaves me for dead, sells me into slavery, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. Pretty good chance there's going to be a bitter seed that's popping up. It's amazing that he kept us focused on the Lord. Holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving and Christmas, two of the most stressful days in the year. Families don't get together because there's bitterness over the years that have taken place. Is it possible today, the reason you're here is to be able to let some of those things go? Life is short. Our struggle, according to Ephesians 6:10, is not against flesh and blood. It is not against people. And yet when things happen, we think it is, but it's not. It is against the principalities and rulers of this dark world. Remember who our enemy is? Satan. What does he want to do? John 10:10. Steal, kill, and destroy our very lives. And in that, disrupt relationally. Is it possible that you and I are not living at peace today because we have held bitterness against people for years? And that God is calling us to reconcile first with him, then with them. To ask forgiveness for the way we've wronged. And then to ask forgiveness of them. We can't control other people and how they respond. We can't do it. It's impossible. We can only be obedient to the Lord and what he calls us to do. Is it possible that he's just given you the name of a person that you've got to get reconciled with? And you spend some time with him in this next moment, getting it right. I think it's very possible. The question is, will you do it? If you want to shine peacefully, there is no other way.